Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I'll be having an open discussion with Kevin Cook of The Darkening. We'll be talking about five independent films from 2018 you should all check out. We'll also go into a couple of random things as well. But first, I want to talk about a couple of news items pertaining to a couple of upcoming home entertainment releases. First off, Universal Studios Home Entertainment recently announced the upcoming DVD, Blu-ray, and VOD release of David Gordon Green's Halloween. The film will be hitting DVD and Blu-ray on January 15th, and the film will hit VOD on December 28th. Special features on the DVD and Blu-ray include deleted and extended scenes, Back in Haddonfield, Making Halloween, The Original Scream Queen, The Sound of Fear, Journey of the Mask, and The Legacy of Halloween. But if there's one major thing missing on this upcoming Blu-ray release is the fact that there is no audio commentary from David Gordon Green. It would have been nice to have a commentary track for this one, as it's like they're just rushing this release. But still, I'll be definitely picking this Blu-ray up once it hits Blu-ray on January 15th. The other piece of home entertainment news is the slasher Hellfest. Lionsgate Home Entertainment and CBS Films recently announced that Hellfest will be hitting VOD on December 28th and DVD and Blu-ray on January 9th. Special features on the DVD and Blu-ray include Thrills and Kills, Making Hellfest, and the theatrical trailer. It seems that this film is not going to get any respect. As this release is light on features, it just amazes me that Lionsgate and CBS Films really didn't do a good job with whether it's promoting the film or the home entertainment release. It seems like it was just another film. Hellfest is a good film. It's not the greatest film in the world, but it's a fun film. I had a fun time when I saw it in theaters, but I wish it gotten a little better treatment instead of what it's getting from both Lionsgate Home Entertainment and CBS Films. As this film should have done a little better at the box office if it wasn't for the fact that this film was hardly ever promoted. Hellfest will be hitting VOD on December 28th and DVD and Blu-ray January 8th. Now let's go to my open discussion with Kevin Cook of The Darkening and Wicked Horror Show. Then afterwards, I'll give you my film recommendation from a independent film company that is going to shut its doors. But first, some advertisements from friends of the show.
Hey, it's Hansi from The Squeak Project, and we're having our first SqueakCon on Saturday, December 1st at the Lyric Hall in New Haven, Connecticut. We're going to be celebrating women and fandom with performances by Tea Time for Mad Girls, Kat Smith, a film festival, cosplay guests, vendors, and then we're wrapping up the evening with a meetup and nerd karaoke at the bar. Get your tickets at filmfreeway.com/SqueakCon.
Hey guys, this is Stephen Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John. Time for something new and improved.
Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm here with Kevin Cook of The Darkening in Wicked Horror Show. And we're here to talk about five independent horror films that were released in 2018 that you should check out. Please note, this is not like a countdown or anything, as I'll be doing a countdown first episode of the new year. So how are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited. You know, it's, you know, definitely want to support podcasters out there, and I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, we've met each other through the conventions and stuff like that. And you're a good guy. You know your horror. So that's, you know, I'm more than happy to talk about some of the stuff I liked over the year.
Now, since my guest, I'll let you go first with your first film.
Okay. So we were talking a little bit before we, you know, you started recording. Kind of a mixture of, like, really low budget and some, you know, that are maybe a little bit higher budget, but still pretty, you know, and I even have an honorable mention in here. I don't really consider it straight ahead horror, but so I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, because I think it's one you recently watched. But first off, this one finally got a physical release. I don't know if, I think you may have checked it out. It's Red Eye from Tristan Clay and Destiny Orndorff. Have you seen Red Eye?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, that's on my list, too.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so, as, you know, just like I'm sure you know, these are very young filmmakers, and this is their first full-length feature. Like, they did some shorts that were really, really good. And, you know, it makes me feel good that there's young filmmakers out there that are making this quality of movie. Lots of good gore, good story, you know, great actors in it. You know, you have Jessica Cameron, you have, I'm forgetting the other one's name.
Heather
I'm horrible. Dorf. Heather Dorff, yeah, exactly. And you have Destiny as well. Yeah, it's a really good time, and I was, like, super excited when it was getting the physical release, you know. Yeah, so that's the first one I have. I don't know, like, since on your list, did you want to talk about it?
Yes. One of the main reasons that I liked it was the fact that the film looked professional. I was so amazed when I watched this film, because Tristan Clay was 18 years old, 18, 19 years old.
I think, yeah, when they got everything started, they were around 18, 19 years old, yeah.
And I just found it amazing that the gore effects were great, the lighting was good, and his ability to direct the performances. As there are some really good performances here, I know we mentioned Destiny and Heather. Should be mentioned is Scott King.
Mm-hmm.
Who played the main lead in the film. He does a very good job making his character very mysterious-like and everything. He really helped drive the film, especially towards the end of the film, which you're not going to talk about. Because if I talk about it, I will pretty much give it away.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing, too, is that we had seen it, like, you know, we've had on my show, we've had Destiny and Tristan on a few times, and we got a rough cut. Not a rough cut, but it was like the first release that was going to like film festivals and stuff. And it's a little bit different. It's actually a little bit more brutal. And one of the scenes that really kind of like, I was like, Jesus, they're going there. Like, holy crap. It was like, I couldn't believe it. And then I guess for distribution purposes, they had to cut part of that out. But even still with that part cut out, it's still really good. You know, and I was like, I felt like a proud uncle, you know what I'm saying? Like, because they're around, like, I have nephews and a niece that are around their age. And I just felt, like, so proud of them, you know? And it's cool, too, because, you know, just like, you know, we met, like, at a convention. We meet a bunch of people at conventions. That's how they met. Like, they were at a convention, became convention friends, and next thing you know, we're making movies again, you know? And it's just, it's a cool story.
It is.
Know? The movie's really good. Movie's like super good, and it was like I was very nervous when it was coming out because I'm like, hopefully this movie doesn't stink, you know. And it was, it blew me away, it really did.
Yeah, I remember actually reviewing the film on my website, Anthony T's Horror Chamber, and it is like I was just amazed. I was simply, yeah, maybe be a bit small and everything, but I couldn't believe the level of the way the film looked is what blew me away. For someone who's doing their first film to get the gore effects to be verified is amazing. And I also like the merits. It really seems to work in your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking in the future too. I know they've been working on stuff trying to get some funding, but yeah, I can't wait. If this is their first like full length, I can't imagine what they're going to be doing in like 10 years now. They're going to be one place.
Yeah, it's going to. So, Ricky, I'll let you go with your second choice.
You want to go with my second?
Yes, we both chose Red Eye.
Yeah. I'm going to mix it up a bit. So the next one, which is a little bit of a higher budget, and this one really surprised me. Some of these movies, like the more recent, more recent sequels of this movie, of this franchise, it kind of stares a little bit. But I'm talking about Little Reich. Some of the more recent, I don't bother with me, but Little Reich, I thought was fantastic. Like, kind of brought life to it for me, you know? It made me go back to school. Really, it doesn't feel like fans. You know? The director was in a franchise, and Tom and Lee, who played, you know, that, yeah, was in it. And you just kind of like, this isn't stuff. This is all, and thought it was fantastic at the end of them, but wasn't too much. The way it made it more interesting. I really dug that one. When anyone is a fan of like their Puppet Master and, you know, are kind of losing their mood to the Master, I would definitely recommend Little Reich.
Yeah, I also enjoyed the film. I wouldn't put it like a sizzling. I did have a little trouble with the subject matter between the beginning and the episode. Oh, pretty much ate shit.
Yeah.
With that scene where it felt like you're wrong with the film.
I don't know if it was like as over the top as a wrong film. By the way, I love movies as well. But I don't think it was over the top. I mean, I just thought it was a really fun one. You know, there's a lot of, you know, horror, crime, early, scene, whatever, and this one was just fun for me. Like, it was one where it's rare that a movie scares you anymore, you know, because you watch such stuff. So it's like nothing really gets in your head that much. And this one definitely didn't, but it was fun enough where I could see myself, and I have watched it a couple times, but I can see that this is one I'm going to keep going back to, you know? And that, to me, that, like, even though I agree, there's probably better movies I've seen. I mean, these are ones that I was just thinking up over, like, even that's fairly recent for me. But, you know, it's when it's something that I feel like I'm going to go back and keep revisiting, you know, that brings it up a little higher on my list, you know? I can totally understand where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, I just couldn't get the humor in between that, but...
Okay.
It just felt right. Like you were getting hit in the head too many times after you get it. After a couple times.
Yeah.
But at least it rebounds, and it becomes a very good film afterwards. And I like the way it ended too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I liked all of it. And again, it's like the people that were in the movie, I'm fans of besides the movie, you know? So I'm a fan of Thomas Lennon and followed his career a bit, you know? And so I was like super psyched to see him in this. And then it's like, okay, not only that, but like this other dude is in it. I've known from these movies, and this guy from Scott Pilgrim is in it. And then have, you know,
Barbara Crampton.
Yeah, Barbara Crampton, and you have I'm forgetting
Michael
his name.
Pare.
Yeah, Michael Pare.
Eddie.
And both of those, both of them have been on the show, like been on my show. So it's like, that's cool. You know, hey, I've talked to those guys for an hour. That's fun. You know, and I didn't even realize that going into it. You know, I don't know. So yeah, I don't.
Every time I see Michael Pare, I always think of Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah.
It was
kind of like sort of Bruce Springsteen and the Street Band, you know? It was very similar, like, that was when Bruce was, like, blowing. Some movies called The Fire. That, actually, it was Lewis Perry from Angry Geese. He came on when we had Pram because he's a big fan. Streets of Fire, I'd heard of it, never seen it. It's really good. You should check it out.
Yeah, there's the scene.
Yeah. It's the movie where, oh my God, I'm, like, losing today. I'm forgetting this other actor. I'm forgetting his name. They have a hammer fight in the middle of the street. They're literally just swinging hammers at each other. Willem Dafoe, that's who it is. Willem Dafoe.
Great actor.
Yeah. And it's a really good time. Like, I know when I saw it, like, a lot of it was familiar to me, so I'm sure I'd seen it when I was younger. But yeah, he did some cool stuff back then. You know? And he's still doing some cool stuff. Obviously, he was in Puppet Master. So, but yeah, what do you have for another one?
Another one is the great song they might have heard of. Bang of the Living Dead. This is released from Screen Team Review. This is, ever hear the Indian Bastard podcast?
I haven't. So many podcasts out there. It's too many. I'll check it out.
But she definitely shot me these big films like The Bond, which is like a retro 80s slasher film.
Okay.
Set on Halloween night. They have a couple Halloween anthology films, The Wedding Season, 1031, which also features a film Rocky Gray, who used to be in the band Evanescence.
Okay.
And we also have a crazy Dude Bro Potty Massacre 3.
Dude Bro? You said Dude Bro? Nice.
Dude Bro Potty Massacre 3.
Nice.
Yeah, I missed an interview with the filmmakers on that film.
Nice.
That was a fun film. It had Patton Oswalt in it, Larry King.
Wow.
That was a crazy film. And a bunch of others.
That's cool. Yeah, check these out.
Now, this film I liked about was it's a stoner comedy, it's a drama, and it's a horror film all wrapped into one film. It's about these friends who plan for the zombie apocalypse when they're young, and then when the zombie apocalypse hits, they're all tied up in their house, smoking meat,
mm-hmm.
and everything. The film has character development. I thought the direction was very good in that film, and I also like the performances from the cast in that.
Nice.
Including Eric Basso, Tiffany Aspin, if I'm pronouncing it right. If not, I apologize.
Yeah.
And Dan Nye. The screenplay also did a very good job developing its characters and the relationships between them. It is a fun film, and they even did a packaging for this film where you get like a limited edition slipcover, and it's like weed with a bond of the dead, which, why don't I show you that right now?
Yeah.
For those who don't see it, well, sorry.
Yeah, too bad. Go buy it, then you
too
can
bad.
Yeah.
But you can go to ScreamTeamReleasing.com.
ScreamTeamReleasing. Okay, I gotta get around that.
Yeah, they're also releasing Dreaming of a White Doomsday as well.
Huh.
Which I believe also says Damien Elfie, would you have had on?
I me? I don't remember names. It's weird. Like, we have all these people on. Strange Nature?
No, he's in Strangers Pray at Night.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude. I'm just horrible with names. Yeah, he was a good dude. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, he's good. And I think that's a... I was all excited for you know, the fact that the new Strangers movie, because it's, you know, that's huge. Like, the first one was great. I thought this one was good. But the first one is one of the few horror movies I can say actually freaked me out.
I would have to beg to...
Oh, really?
Because with The Stranger, I felt like I was something to be made through. Yeah. And so I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And it's like, you break it, like, I didn't see the film. But with The Stranger, they had a basic slasher film. With some really good moments, and I like the way they also placed it.
Yeah. No, I mean, the first one, like, the home invasion movies get me a little bit, because that's something that's definitely more feasible to really happen, you know? Which, that terrifies me. But, Yeah.
Oh, let's get over
yeah.
I'm talking studio.
That's true. That's how I saw it. Yeah.
So, I'll let you go.
All right, I'm between a couple. One of them, it's a little, I mean, it's higher budget than Retta. It's not as high budget, I don't think, as Puppet Master, but, Terrifier. Have you seen Terrifier?
Oh.
With Art the Clown?
Oh.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes. That is, like, in my top five of the
Oh,
year.
Is it? Yeah. Is it on your list tonight?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is on
all right.
My list.
All right, good. We can talk about Terrifier then. Was it All Hallows Eve, the first movie that Art the Clown was in?
Yes, but not with the
right. Yeah, it's a different actor. Although they did a very good job, like, he looks the same, but it's a different actor. But still, the character of Art the Clown was in All Hallows Eve. But I thought it was definitely portrayed a little cooler in Terrifier. But yeah, that movie just got really. It's just, I don't know. It got some twisted moments for sure. And it, I don't know. I mean, the whole clown thing is kind of overplayed. So you kind of have to do something a little different. With the clowns, you know, and Art the Clown kind of does it. Like, he's just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't get creeped up by clowns. Freaks me out.
Yeah. And that's the credit to David Howard Thornton's performance in that film.
Yeah.
Because if you... This performance pretty much had no dialogue. You're basically relying on movements...
Hopefully he'll be at Thriller Rap, because I've seen that he's been going to conventions, so that'd be cool to meet him.
I really wanted him to come to Rock and Shock.
Yeah, maybe Rock and Shock or Scarecon. Let's hope, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm hoping for Scarecon New England.
Yeah. Actually, I'll suggest that. I'll get that on there. But I'm part of like a evaluate. It's a group on Facebook where you can make suggestions. Like, you know, people were asked to be on it and ask me, so. I'll mention him, because it'd be cool to It'd be cool to be to meet that dude.
Yeah, maybe we can also see Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, for real. Well. How many conventions have I been to that there's promo booths and I've never met Lloyd in person? Not once.
I know. It's like, I was so disappointed again this year at Rocket.
Yeah.
I really thought this was the year that Lloyd Kaufman would come to the East Coast.
Yeah.
But of course, he had something going on
right.
That weekend.
He did invite Leo and I and the other guys on the Dorkin. He invited us to the actual office, and we just haven't done it. Like, he's like, "When you just let me know when you guys want to come down," and we're like, "Well, okay, like that'd be awesome," because we've had him on a couple times. He's a character for sure.
Now, Terrify has a Lloyd Kaufman connection.
Does it?
Catherine Cochran.
Okay.
From Return to Newcombe
yep.
High. She's in Terrifier. And she was pretty much the main reason why I wanted to watch Terrifier in the first
really?
Place. Yeah, because I loved her performance in Return to Newcombe High Volume 1. And after the end of the film, all I could think about was David Howard Thornton and his performance.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. When you can do that, you know you have a good film.
Yeah. Not to sidetrack too much, but have you seen Return to Newcombe High Volume 2? Have you seen it?
No, it has not played in the Rhode Island area.
Yeah, I saw it up in Buffalo, not this past festival, the year before. It's interesting. I like the first one better. I mean, the second one's still good, but the first one I thought was great. You know, it's a little all over the place, but it's still good.
I've got a feeling that I might see it next year.
Yeah, hopefully they'll just release it. Just release it so I can buy it. I want to put it next
year.
Yes,
that's what That's what I'm hoping, but I got a feeling next year it's gonna come. It has to come out eventually because
yeah. Especially like I interviewed at that film festival, Zach Amico. He's a big player in Volume 1 and Volume 2, and he's doing a lot of directing on the Shitstorm one. Yeah, he's the guy. He's like the heavy set guy with like the big spiky hair.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. He's doing it. Yeah.
I think he's on Practical.
No, he's not.
Oh.
No, he's on Comedy Central a lot. He's a stand-up comic as well.
Oh, okay.
He does like the roast battles and stuff like that.
Okay.
He was at the film fest, so we got to sit down and he quickly busted my balls. It was pretty great. I'm like, "Hey, Zach, I'm a big fan." He's like, "Of course you are. Look at you." He's like, "Why can't I have a skinny hot girl as a fan? You just have bald fat guys as fans." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." Thanks, Zach. You're the best. But anyways, so yeah, Terrifier. Going back to Terrifier. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, it's one of those. It's one of those. I think, unfortunately, unless you're like a diehard horror fan where you're digging to find cool stuff to watch, this one's gonna probably miss. You know, you're probably gonna miss it. You know, it's not something that's like everyone's wrath. Like, you know, I don't see it as suggested things on, you know, Netflix or anything like that. You know, but it's one track down if you can. Yeah, but it's still not like those things that are on the main page. You know, you have to dig for it.
Yeah.
But it's still, yeah, I loved it.
If they do Art the Clown right, I truly believe he could become the next Victor
yeah,
Crowley.
Yeah,
I really do
yeah.
believe it.
Do you want me to go again?
And I like the
all right, so... Just because it's Terrifier and Red Eye, we both have on our list. And it's the reason why I asked is because he thought he'd be the next Victor Crowley. The only movies I have on my list is Victor Crowley.
Yeah, that was a good
yeah.
film.
And I think one of the things that made me like it a little bit more, it was good. It's not like my favorite Hatchet movie, but it was good. But I love the whole situation, how the movie made in secret. Yeah. So we've seen a number of the cast benches. People can't you know have movie to go. So that's a whole new age film thing. This is great. Like, it's too much video. It's much actual crying out TV. It was the anniversary screening of Hatchet, and they had like cast of Hatchet there, and then they're supposed to do like the screening, and they were you know doing a little talk at the beginning, and Adam's just like, "No, yeah, actually, you know what though? We're not you know we're supposed to be here for this, but actually we're here for a new movie that we've been working on." And then so the audience, other than the people that were involved in the movie, knew what was happening. So you're at, like a packed theater, and no one knows that they're seeing this brand new movie, and then the story too, because after Dave Brocky passed, Adam got really in a bad way. And it was Romero that kind of talked him back into still doing stuff. But that whole conversation between him and Romero happened at a panel at Rock and Shock in Worcester.
Yeah, I've heard about that panel.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's all like weird, cool connection, you know? But yeah, I thought it was a really good time. It's really fun. It's not one of those like Puppet Master, but it's just fun. Like, nothing really scares you in it, but it's really cool gore, really cool, you know, awesome legends in this movie. You know? Yeah, it's a good time. It's another one of those movies that I'll just keep going back to, you know?
I'm surprised you didn't mention Felicia Rose, because she pretty much stole...
Yeah, she's great, and she has a really cool death in that movie, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane. And you got Brian Quinn from Practical Jokers in the movie, too, and that's big. He actually, he had said on... He does a podcast as well called Tell Him Steve Dave, and he had actually said that he was doing something with Adam, but he couldn't say what it was, like, on Tell Him Steve Dave a while ago. So he kind of, with the, like, the cat of the bag, he'd run something with Adam, but, you know, no one speculated that. But, yeah, it was really cool. And I was glad to see it. I'm glad Adam's not done peaceful stuff there, you know?
Yes. I wish you'd watch it.
They talk and stuff about you.
Well, it's in the comments. I did read
the little... Yeah. I didn't
catch
that. We had them every, like, there for this whole story. Right. But, you know, there's some... I've got a new whole story.
It is.
Now,
I think about Victor Crowley, it wasn't over the top like the Hatchet films. Because you don't get to kill them. And it felt really original, because you'd expect Victor Crowley to kill everybody, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I really like the way that Adam Green takes this in a more mature way.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't throw humor in all of it, to the point where it just becomes over the top.
Yeah, there's some pretty brutal moments, like when the one girl's like drowning, like they can tell, like, okay, she's gonna be any time now, she's gonna be drowning at the bottom of this, like, you know, the part of the, was it a plane? Yeah, there was a plane.
Yeah, so
and plane, it's
yes.
Like, you know, that gets a little like, holy crap, get this, you know, just help her, you know, come on, do it. Like, so it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's like, in other Hatchet movies, there's some crazy kills that are just legendary, like ripping the face apart and everything, and you know, it's cool, but I like, yeah, I agree. I like to, there was some more mature deaths, not just ripping people apart, and it was almost like torment, because he kept, like, leaving and coming back at times, and, yeah, I don't know, he was messing with him. You can tell he was messing with him.
And I also like the way they play with you in thinking, oh, this person's going to be the new face of the mm-hmm. franchise, and it didn't, well, it doesn't
yeah.
happen. It's the least person you least expect.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the film, the documentarian and every.
Mm-hmm.
She had, like, just the boyfriend and her best friend who was, like, all crazy,
yeah.
crazy and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. We also don't want, I mean, for the people that haven't seen it, we don't want to, yeah. It's,
yeah,
yeah, there's some cool twists in it, you know. Yeah, yeah.
All right, let me get to the next film. Speaking of craziness of films.
Yeah.
Mandy.
So that's actually my honorable mention, was Mandy. The reason why is because I don't really look at it as a horror movie.
To me, it really felt like a horror film, because it first you got blood flying all over the place, it's acid trip,
yeah.
Plus it's something that you
yeah.
half of his films you may not think is horror films.
Mm-hmm.
Like Twin Peaks, for example. But to me, horror is horror, whether it's psychological, whether it's slasher, whether it's over-the-top gore, horror is horror. And Mandy kind of felt like a horror
yeah.
film.
Well, I mean, there's...
But when you have this...
Yeah, there's moments of it, but as a whole, I didn't... You know, it's a beautiful movie. Like, it's probably the best Nicolas Cage in a long time. It's a great movie. It's so damn twisted. It's not, you know, fixable. Sure, God, big thing.
Oh,
and if it's not a big thing, I mean, I follow the Sure on Instagram, but you know, people have like a lot of like stars, and you know, that's gotta be. You gotta. We're gonna start seeing people cosplaying as a Cheddar Goblin at some point. It's gonna happen. But yeah, I really enjoyed Mandy. The only thing is that it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, well, is this really a horror movie? Like, some people consider it horror. Like, it definitely had horror aspects to it, but it's one of those things where I think it was so well shot, and it's just a beautiful movie. And, you know, even this, like, everything with the lighting, the music, everything was just really cool about it. But it still, at times, it just felt like more like a mind, you know, like a mind F, more so than, like, you know. Yeah, totally. But, I mean, I did have it on my list, but it was only as an honorable mention, because I was like, I don't know if if you would even consider that a horror movie, and it's on your list. See that? So I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's great. I loved it. I was like, I've been selling it to people. Whenever they're asking me about movies, I'm like, you need to check out Mandy. You got to check it out. It's just it's really out there, you know.
I literally after that film tried to find to see if there were any Cheddar Goblin merch.
Oh yeah.
And like the only thing I could find was like a beanie, one of those winter hats. That's about it.
Yeah. They should put out Fright Rags or something. Should be putting out some stuff, or somebody should be putting out shirts. You know.
There's shirts for the film. I've been on their website.
Really? But there's Cheddar Goblin shirts?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
There's Mandy shirts.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of the other chapters have shirts pretty much.
Yeah, there's got to be Cheddar Goblin stuff out there. We have to start a petition. Cheddar Goblin now. #Cheddar Goblin. Let's do it, guys.
Either that or just stop tweeting back to the Cheddar
Goblin. Oh, for real.
Goblin.
Like, come on, dude. Step it up.
Yeah.
I want action figures. I want everything. I want it with vomiting mac and cheese action, too. You push a button in the back and it just throws mac and cheese.
Hell, I want a Cheddar Goblin film if possible.
Yeah. I want
that would be effed up.
Yeah. I want, exactly. I want like a documentary on how the Cheddar Goblin was made. I want everything. So, do you have the physical copy of it?
Yes.
What does it have for special features?
I
bought the digital version of it.
Not much. It has like a behind the scenes, which pretty much just like is like audio interviews to stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the scenes stills. And I believe the trailer. And I believe that's
okay.
It.
That's unfortunate. I can imagine them having some pretty awesome special features. That's kind of disappointing.
They didn't do much. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I was hoping. And to let everyone know, if you don't want to buy the film, you can check the film out on Shudder.
Oh, really?
Because it's coming out on Shudder.
And I think, was it Shudder that just got bought by Comcast? I think, or they merged? Because one of the directors that we're friends with, Max Chirky, he just posted something. He was going to start creating content for Shudder, and he couldn't get any funding. And then they ended up, now they're going to have like 20 million more viewers than they ever did because they just got, like, they joined forces. It's going to be part of Comcast, I guess. I think it's Shudder. I could be completely talking out of my ass right now. And I do apologize.
I haven't heard anything about that, but
if I can find it.
Look at Bushy. They've got Joe Bob Briggs. They're bringing him back, which is a very good move. They got the new Creepshow series coming out, plus all the other stuff they have for original content. Shudder is really the place to be if you're a horror fan.
Yeah.
It really made me want to ditch my Screambox subscription because they're pretty much not doing anything. They'd rather just sit there, try to get the obscurest films possible, mm-hmm. or indie horror films that no one hears of.
Well, the thing is that Netflix used to get like a lot of like indie like cool stuff. Like I would find a lot of cool directors on that, and then they stopped doing it. Like they stopped getting those movies, and so it's like things like Shudder that like you know you can go and see actually some cool stuff, you know. But yeah, it stinks. I mean, so do you subscribe to Shudder?
Yes.
How much does it cost?
I think $5 a month.
That's not bad.
That isn't
bad. Not at all.
That's why I was paying $5 for Screenbox anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I got rid of that and just joined Shudder because I really wanted to see The Last Drive-In. But looking at the future of Shudder, that's going to be more better than Screenbox.
Yeah.
At this point, Shudder should be the only horror destination if you're looking for some premium content.
And I just want to let you know, I checked my Facebook, and I was completely wrong. It wasn't Shudder. It was Tubi TV or Tubi something. It's like another streaming service.
Yeah, I've heard of Tubi TV.
They were they're joining forces with Comcast. So I was completely talking out of my butt there. I apologize for anyone, but $5 a month, though, that's that's two coffees at Dunk's, you know? And you just don't buy coffees 1 month, and you're good, you know?
I think I might have, like, the yearly subscription.
Oh, yeah?
Which I'm not sure how much that is.
I should check into that. Probably... I should check into that, because I'd probably, like, I'm sure you save money. Christmas is coming. I get money for Christmas. I'll just set up a Shutter. Be like, here you go. Here you go. I'm good. I gotta check that out.
Yeah. And it's just gonna get better over there.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is great for us horror fans.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is I've seen it, I've heard about it, and I just like I was assuming it was gonna be more money, so that's really not bad. So yeah, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it isn't bad. All right, so what is your next film?
This is one I'm not sure. I think you were checking this one out. I don't know if you have checked it out yet. And this is one that's also kind of fairly new to me. We've had the director on recently, and that's American Guinea Pig: Song of Solomon.
Oh, I just seen it recently.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is one where
right after the
oh
MVP.
Really nice. So this is one where you had mentioned before with which one was it? Victor? No, it was not Victor Crowley. It was one of the ones where it kind of jumped in the middle. But what movie were we talking about? You said it felt like it jumped in the middle because Song of Solomon it pretty much just jumped right in. Oh yeah, that's right. So for Song of American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon, this one just pretty much jumps right in as well. But I think that's good. Like I didn't think it took anything away from the movie because it's like, okay, there's this house, we're in the middle of nowhere, blah, blah, blah. Holy crap, what's happening? You know? And then it just gets more and more twisted and gross. And I really dug it. So you just watched it recently. What have you done a review of it?
No, I haven't done a review of it. I may do something related to Song of Solomon. But I'm not gonna spoil
okay.
it.
All right.
But I do want to really push this.
Oh, really?
Because I really liked it
a
lot.
Yeah, it's crazy gory, but it's a really cool story. So it's basically like someone described it. Like they were actually playing at that film festival in Buffalo that we were at last year, and they described it as like The Exorcist meets Groundhog's Day. Because it's not really, but it kind of is, like, where it's, like, they're trying to exorcise a demon off this girl who's Jessica Cameron, who is also in Red Eye, who is phenomenal, and unrecognizable in this movie. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes.
She did not look like herself at all.
No, she did not look like...
And
it looked like she had no makeup
right.
on, which...
Well, I'm sure she did, but it was not...
Her
totally unrecognizable and... Not like I've seen her act in anything I've seen her act in. You know, like, I've seen her in a handful of things, and it's like, I was like, I wanted to stand up and give her a little applause, because I'm like, this is different than anything I've seen you do. And that's huge to me. Like, that you can, like, especially in these kind of movies, you know, that you mix it up that much. But anyways, so this girl's possessed, and it starts off with her father, who's, you know, we found out was the director. I didn't realize that until the show. You know... She's basically makes him like off himself, like right in front of her. But it's like, so then they start calling these exorcists in and they keep failing. So every time they fail, new exorcists come in and it's like, oh, man, it's just like, it's so brutal. So much blood. It's such a bloody movie. And next Marcus Hawk or Cook or whatever. I know it's a really weird last name and Leo messed it up a bunch on the show too, but he's one of the effects guys on the movie. And that dude's super talented. He did. Have you ever see the movie 100 Tears? No. That's another clown movie. It's really good though. He directed that one. He also did the special effects in Death House. He was part of the group that did Death House special effects. So he's got some good gore behind him, you know. There's a lot of blood. And that whole scene where her innards become her outards. And then she's just like, I'm gonna need that, and then she just eats them. It's just so twisted and messed up.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most twisted scenes I've seen all year. besides Art the Clown getting rid of one of the characters in Terrifier.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was another twist.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I like. I like these guys are stepping it up. And you wouldn't see these kind of scenes in like a studio movie. You wouldn't see that. Like, I remember when like Green Inferno came out, and I was like, oh wow, that's probably some of the most gory stuff I've seen in a long time in the theater. You know, but still, this is, you know, you wouldn't see what happened in Song of Solomon in a theater. You just wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. That film probably wouldn't be slapped to an NC-17
rating. Oh yeah, definitely. So I definitely check it out. And one thing that I'm regretting is that there's two versions of it on Amazon. One of them is the regular release. The other one is a special edition. I went with the regular release. Special edition is $35, and it's three discs. And now I want that one.
Yeah, I got that.
You got that one?
Yeah, I got that.
I'm jealous.
Because I probably figured, oh, if they attach a CD to it, I'm probably going to like the score.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to download it.
Yeah. Put it on your iPod or iPad or whatever.
Put it on my streaming cloud, then listen to it on my phone.
Nice. What else is on the three disc?
Interviews with the director, Jessica Cameron. There's, I think, a behind-the-scenes featurette, which I think goes over an hour. I haven't seen that.
Oh, wow.
As the only two things I've seen was the director's interview and the interview with Jessica Cameron.
I'm going to have to pick up the three disc. I'm going to have to. And what I'll do, here's what I'm going to do. I'll announce it right now. I'm going to get the three disc and then I'll give you the other one. We'll give it away on the Dorkin and it's nothing. Cause it's, yeah. And it's funny cause I do that stuff a lot. Like I remember I was totally off subject. I'm sorry. But I was talking up Circus of the Dead to somebody, like the year before last, or the last time, ScareCon New England, and then we ended up getting in touch with Billy, and we got them to play Circus of the Dead at ScareCon New England this past year. And this one guy missed it, but he was the one I was talking it up to. Like I talked up to him a bunch at the year before, and I had it on DVD with me, and so I gave it to him. I'm like, here you go. I already have it on Blu-ray. Here you go. Check it out. Tell me what you think. I haven't heard from the guy since. So hopefully he liked it. But yeah, it's, you know, that's another cool thing with these art conventions is everyone's kind of got each other's back. And, you know, we all want everyone to like, you got to check this out. It's amazing. You know, like we're all excited about this stuff. So yeah, it's cool. But yeah, Song of Solomon. I'm glad that I finally got to see it. It really changed my perspective. But it really like opened my eyes to like, I always knew Jessica Cameron was good, but it really opened my eyes to like how good she really is, you know?
Have you ever seen a film called Truth or Dare?
Yep.
In which she directed?
Yep. Yeah, she's in it too. But yeah, she directed that.
Yes.
Yep. I have. And that was really good too. That was one. See, the one thing with Jessica is she's got so many movies that, are done and they're just not out. Like they're going, they're like all this.
It's a crime.
It is. There's one she has called Mania that I really want to see. It's starring Elliot Church and Tristan Ritt.
Yeah, I've heard about that film too, and I've been wanting to see that film.
And I love both of them as actresses. Like Elliot Church and Tristan Ritt are both fantastic, and I want to see this movie, and I just can't see it. I want it to be out like right now. I don't know. It kills me.
Kills me that some of these films that sound so cool take like 3, 4, 5 years to come out, which happened, I think, with Truth or Dare as well.
Yeah,
it just came out almost out of the blue, pretty much. It was like I think like a month or two before I heard it was coming out.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like we've had Jessica on a bunch of times, and it's like we always ask her, when are these coming out? When are these coming out? She's like, oh, we're in the talks for this. We're in the talks for that. And then finally one day she's like, Truth or Dare's out. Go get it. I'm like, holy crap. How did that happen? Like we just talked to like a month ago and it was like no update. And now all of a sudden it's out to buy. Like, this is crazy. And it must be really stressful from her standpoint too, because you're putting all this money into making these movies. And because, you know, if she's directing and whatever, there's a lot of work that comes into it, you know, a lot of work and a lot of money and busting your butt to get funding. And, you know, these actors are expecting to make some money off of it, and it's like, oh, I can't believe it. It's crazy.
I don't. Maybe we should try to get one of our films down to Scarecon New England.
We've tried. We actually tried. We actually asked about Song of Solomon, and I think there was something with the distribution that they couldn't do that because it's too close to the release. And there's been a few other ones that we've tried, and like with Brian K. Williams with like Frankenstein created Butkers and those kind of movies, mm-hmm. Same deal. I think there's something to do with distribution where they can't do it. So that's where, I don't know. There's a catch 22 because you want to see these movies, and I mean Mania. I mean I think Mania is actually screened at some places. So maybe next year we'll shoot for that. You know. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because I think that would be a great idea to at least bring that to the New England area. Because I don't think it's screened in the New England
area. We were actually trying to get Jessica to be a guest. We were trying. Like, we kept talking to JV, and we gave her JV's information, and we were trying to get them to get her to come as a guest. And, you know, do some panels and do some screenings and stuff like that. And never happened. And then... she jokingly was saying that she was going to give me a makeover, like at the con, like live on stage. I was like, "Hey, if you can get there, be a guest. I'll do it. Like whatever, make me look pretty. Let's go." And it never happened. I was like, "Whatever. If you get to be there, I'm cool. Let's do this." But I don't know. Maybe next year. Fingers crossed.
Maybe next year. Because I'm already have that date circled on my calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. My final film is actually a horror documentary.
Okay.
And I think you may be knowing where I'm going with.
Oh.
And it's To Hell and Back to Kane.
Yes, yes. It's fantastic. So good.
This was a film where I did a video, I don't know what you call it, review or plea on my YouTube channel, because I was so kind of, it's even hard talking about this film because it really brought a lot of emotions to me.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I never read the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew of Kane's history. The only thing I knew of Kane was he's this fun-loving guy at conventions. And to hear the horror stories that he went through, really, at one point almost wrote me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I listened to the book. I bought the book through Kindle, and then with the Amazon Fire tablet, you can actually have it read it to you. So on my commute to work for like a week, it was reading it to me. And then like I get time off the phones because I work in like a financial institution, so I'm receiving and, you know, whatever, making calls. So when I get time off the phones and stuff like that, I would have it on with headphones. And even the book was super powerful, even though it was like a robot voice reading it to me, it was still super powerful. And then the documentary like blew me away, you know. And we had Kane on before we'd seen the documentary, and we were at the what was that convention that they had at not Mohegan, but Foxwoods. The other comic book convention at Foxwoods. Kineticon. I think that sounds right. So Kane was there as a guest, and Robert Englund was there as well. And, you know, I walk up and I see both of them, like there's a line at Robert's table, and there was like one guy at Kane's booth. I didn't even bother to go talk to Robert because I'm like, Kane's the man. Like, I love Kane. Like, he's just a good dude. And, you know, he was very nice enough to con our show for like a full hour, and it was really cool. And I walk up to him, and he's just super nice to me. Like, he's like, "Hey man, how you doing? How's the show? Blah blah blah." And he's like, "So what'd you think of the documentary?" I'm like, "It's out." He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, I didn't know. And he's like, "You haven't seen it yet." I'm like, "No." He's like, "What's your email address?" And within minutes, we had the link sent to us so we could check it out. And like, legit, I went home that night and I watched it, and I was like, all the other guys in the Dorkening, you guys need to watch this right now. Like, this thing is powerful. And I agree 100%. Like, you're seeing him break down a bit, and I think that definitely helps, you know, push the emotion a little bit. But he went through so much, like, horrible stuff. And to meet the guy that you meet now, it's like I can't imagine myself being the person he is after going through all that. You know, he's such a strong dude, you know? And yeah, it's a great documentary. Yeah. Really good. Even if you're not a horror fan, it's a great documentary.
Yes, it is probably one of the best documentaries that I've ever seen. And I've seen some really good ones over the years.
Yeah, same here. It's definitely on my list. Like, there's that one, and the documentary Crumb. I don't know if you ever saw that one. That one's...
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's a really
yeah,
good
and
one.
Then even though it's not really like a documentary, the other one is Crystal Lake Memories. Like, I love that documentary. It's super long, but it's really good, you know?
That in the Nightmare on Elm Street documentary, too.
Yeah, was it Never
good.
Sleep Again? Yeah, that was really good, too, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's a great choice. That's a great choice. I wouldn't even have thought of putting a documentary on the list, but yeah, it's horror themed. So yeah, it's such a good movie. I think I have it sitting over here. I do. I have it right next to me. Look at that. Hooray. Yeah. So I think I already said all mine. So.
Yeah. That Kane Hodder film almost was my favorite horror film of 2018.
Wow.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
But that film, for like months, I thought nothing would beat that.
Really?
Film because that was so powerful.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. You're going to have to tell me afterwards. Maybe you won't.
I'll tell you what.
Okay, all right, good.
Because I don't want
to... You don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
Spoil it, because... First episode of 2019 will be sort of a best of 2018/award show type.
Nice.
Thing, which I'm starting to figure out right now.
Actually, that's something. Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards because it's something that we've been throwing around the idea of something. So that would kind of. Yeah, we'll talk after the show.
Okay.
Maybe next year we'll do something. But yeah, it's something we're thinking of. So anyways. Not to be off subject or whatever. So I don't really have anything else. I mean, all the ones that were on my list, I've already spoken of. I don't know if you want to talk about anything else, or do you have any others on your list?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Now, have you been, just out of curiosity, because there's a movie that I've been talking up to people, and I'm just curious if you've got a chance to see it yet. But have you seen that movie Overlord?
No, I have. I've been hearing good things about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm really considering watching it maybe in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because I know...
Go ahead. Sorry.
I know Showcase Cinemas now started their little subscription service.
They did?
Yeah, they did. I was shocked.
How much?
I think it was like $16.99 for like 3 movies a month. No, I think no blackouts and everything.
Really? Because I do the AMC one, which is $19.99 a month for 3 movies a week. But the thing is, I never go to 3 movies in a week. Because the AMC that's close to me, you know where it is? It's like right down the street from where Scarecon, New England is.
Wow. Did not
yeah,
know
so
that.
It's that's the closest AMC for me. So like, and I live like right outside of Worcester, and like where I work is kind of in between. So I usually will go after work on Thursdays to see a movie. But it's still a drive. Like then when I get out of the movie, it's still, I have to get on the pike and drive like a pretty far distance. My local theater that I would go to all the time when I was doing movie pass was a Showcase. So I'm going to have to look into that. Cause I could probably, I mean, if it's cheaper, I mean, I maybe go to one movie a week.
Yeah, so I think 3 a month. I think it was like $16.99.
That sounds good.
I'm really, really considering it for just 2D films. It's like another tier for premium films as well.
Well, the thing is too is that the Showcase in my area, I take my dad to, and I take him to all the big 3D movies. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to look into this. Like, goddamn it, you got me looking into this. I'm looking in the Shutter after here. You're selling. You should be. Good thing you're a salesman. You're good. Yeah,
salesman.
You're a sales. At your work, you do sales, so that's good. You're good at it. But Overlord. So, there's a few things that I want to say about it because it's one that if it was an independent movie or you know a lower budget movie, it definitely would be on my list right now. But it is definitely more of a World War II movie than it is like a monster movie. It's still really, really good, like super good. And the monsters are really good in it too. But it's there's a lot of World War II, but it's done very well. Really, really fun time, and I highly recommend it. But yeah, I mean, so that's I'm curious in your thoughts of Overlord after you see it. So hopefully you do a review of it on your show.
Hopefully I do, because I still even haven't seen the new Suspiria film.
Neither. I haven't either. I've heard mixed things.
I've heard mixed things also.
My friend Mike from Trick or Treat Radio, it's funny. Like, I didn't even know that it was in the theater I was at. I was at the theater to see Bohemian Rhapsody, and he was in the theater to see Suspiria, where I saw him, like, in the lobby, like, hey, what's going on? Both of our movies started at 7. As soon as 7 o'clock hit, we went different directions, and he's like, I guess you're not seeing Suspiria. I'm like, I thought you were joking. Like, so I'm going to see Bohemian Rhapsody. So, but yeah, he said that it was, pure genius wrapped in stupidity, is what he said. He's like, there's some really great, really great moments that's surrounded by just garbage.
Yeah, I've also read somewhere that the director wants to do a trilogy.
Oh, Jesus. Leave it alone, people.
I know. Then he wants to do a trilogy of his award-winning film, too, so...
What I don't get...
Leave it alone.
Yeah, for real. So here's the thing, is it seems like all the originality right now is coming out of independent horror. You know? Everything, all of the big budget stuff is all remakes and the same movie. So, I don't know, did you see Happy Death Day?
No, I have not seen it yet.
If you saw the trailer, you've seen the movie. But they're coming out with Happy Death Day 2.
I've seen the trailer.
Which
for
is exactly the same as Happy Death Day. It legit, like, hey, at the end of the movie, she thought she stopped it. Guess what? She didn't. It's all over again. It's so such a waste. But the thing is I'll probably see it. I'll probably see it.
Yeah, and then they'll probably do a Happy Death Day 3.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyways,
that's pretty much my same thought on the Child's Play remake.
Oh yeah, yeah. You wanted to talk about that. So yeah, you had asked me beforehand if I knew anything about it. I know that it's happening. But I'm avoiding everything because, you know, it's one of those things where people will talk about it a lot and then it'll start to sway my thoughts. And sometimes I want to go in and I want to think differently. So there's a lot of movies that have come out in the last handful of years that some people have, like, called the greatest movie of all time, you know? And I go to see it and I'm extremely disappointed. Like, I didn't like The Witch. I didn't like It Follows. You know?
The slow burn horror film.
I love slow burns. I do. I love Ty West movies, but It Follows in The Witch. I thought The Witch was better than It Follows, but I thought It Follows was just so, like, anticlimactic for me. I thought there was way better stuff out there, but it's one of those things where people just keep feeding you, like, oh my God, it's the best movie I've ever seen. It's this, it's that. Then I go to see it, and I'm like, my hopes are up too high. So I'm avoiding everything Child's Play. I'll check it out when it happens, maybe. And, you know, didn't they change the look of Chucky a bit?
I'll talk a little into Chucky. The way it looks like is, it's going to be more like he's a robot, because I looked at the teaser poster of it and had this, like, Wi-Fi symbol on it. That really gets me nervous, because now I get this image that you may have like 5, 6, or 7 of them going attacking at once.
Yeah, maybe it's like some guy behind a computer controlling them all, like puppets, like a puppet master. But so yeah, maybe that's what they're doing, because they don't want to do the whole possessed thing.
Yeah, and guess who, what film they put it up against?
It's coming up the same week.
A good guess. It's coming up the same week as Toy Story 4.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Now they're gimmicking.
Yeah.
Because I really think it's now becoming a gimmick.
Yeah.
Hey, why see Woody and Buzz Lightyear when you can see Chucky?
Drop the kids off at Toy Story, and then you sneak into Child's Play. That's what you do.
I'll be shocked if it does over $10 million opening weekend.
I mean, besides Halloween, what's the last horror movie that's really kind of killed it, no pun intended, opening weekend? That second one's coming out soon.
Yeah, but with the new Child's Play remake, you're going to have Godzilla coming out around the same time.
No, this isn't Godzilla versus King Kong. It's just Godzilla.
No, King of the Monsters. The one with the girl from Stranger Things.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see that, yeah.
I think that's coming, I think, end of May. And you'll probably get Avengers Hangover. Because that's coming out at the beginning of May.
Yeah.
MGM is doing this reboot no favors at all.
It's such a... I don't get it. I mean, I kind of defended reboots here and there. You know? Like, my whole theory is like, okay, if people really liked it, maybe they're going to go search out the original. But I really don't think that's happening. Like, I thought that about the remake or the newer Ghostbusters. I thought that about Evil Dead. Although Evil Dead was really good, I thought. Anyways.
I think maybe they would research it out because of Ash vs. Evil Dead that came out.
Yeah.
So that could have happened.
Yeah.
Because you did have Ash vs. Dead for 3 years.
Yeah, I was actually rewatching that. I got a projector for my office and I was watching Ash vs. Evil Dead on this giant. It's like the whole wall. It's ridiculous. Anyways, but yeah, and then you have awesome shows like that that they ended up just, you know, canceling after 3 seasons when it's amazing. Whatever. Yeah, they want
to... I think the budget, after they saw the ending of season 3...
Maybe.
They probably realized it's going
to... So here's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming you were a fan of Ash vs. Evil Dead. Are you a big Bruce Campbell fan in general?
Pretty much. Yeah. You can say.
So I guess I'm trying to think of who it was who said it on the show. Actually, I think it may have been you know Alex Hoey.
Yes. Very nice guy.
Yeah, wicked nice guy. He was on yesterday, and then we ended up talking until almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon after the show. By the way, the show was over at 11. We just online talking for hours. He's a really good guy. But I think it was him that brought it up that Bruce had hinted around saying that he would do a reboot of Briscoe County. And I don't know if you were a fan of Briscoe County.
Yes.
Yeah, but that would be awesome.
I do have the box set.
Same here.
The whole show.
That would be awesome. I just want to see. I want to see Bruce working. That's all. Burn Notice was awesome. Ash vs. Evil Dead was awesome. Briscoe County would be awesome as well. So.
I heard he may go back to Evil Dead if it's a video game, but that's about.
Well, that'd be cool. That'd be cool, especially with the newer systems, how detailed they can be. Yeah, that'll be pretty sick. No, you know what? They didn't come around this year, but I saw it last year. Was Evil Dead the Musical? Have you ever had a chance to see that?
No, but I might have a bootleg of
it. Oh, really?
Lying around.
I actually saw it.
Because I saw it around and I thought, it might be cool.
Yeah. No, I saw it like live at a Playhouse not this past Halloween, the Halloween before. And we were front row. Mm-hmm. And so they give you a parka because you're covered in blood by the end of the show. It's like a Gallagher show, but with blood. It's amazing. And that's something that they should get. I'm just thinking of things for Scarecon. They should get... I know they do Rocky Horror. It would be cool to get Evil Dead the Musical at one of these cons, too. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome,
I'd be all over that.
I don't know how... I don't know how you can pull it off.
Tarps. So. Use tarps.
With that small space.
Yeah, they could do it. They could do it. I mean, the Playhouse I saw it in was pretty small. I'm just saying, it's great. We're talking about Evil Dead. I'm totally getting off subject. I apologize.
That's all right.
If you've seen my show before, you know that's how I am. I just jump all over the place, but...
Yeah, it makes for some good listening.
Hopefully. Hopefully you don't lose subscribers because of me being on here. But anyways...
Hey, it's not my network.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
It's Phillip's network,
yeah.
Not mine.
He's a good guy, too. I haven't talked to Phil in a while.
Yeah, he's a very good guy.
Haven't talked to him in a long time. Well, it's been a while. Since, like, right around Scarecon, when I think the last time we really talked. He's a guy, though. I like Phil. I think his daughter...
Yeah, you keep in touch.
Yeah, I think his daughter just had a birthday, so happy birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
All right. Well, let's wrap
this up. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Where can they find you?
If you want looking for me on Twitter or Instagram, I'm more active on Instagram, definitely, but it's A Knuckle, just AKNUCKLE on Twitter or Instagram. I'm on the Dorkening Podcast Network on two shows. I'm on the Dorkening and I'm on Wicked Horror Show. And every once in a while, one of the guys and I, the 13th Wolfman, we do Wicked Horror Reviews. That's audio only. The other show that we do, the Dorkening and Wicked Horror Show, is live video. And then the audio from that goes up on the audio podcast as well. And those are, like, Anthony, you've been in the chat room a bunch of times on our show, so you know how it is. But on Tuesdays is the Wicked Horror Show, and that's usually where we have a horror-related guest. Directors, actresses, we've had Kane Hodder on, we've had Luke Kaufman on. You know, people that are, like, legends in my eyes. And when they agree to come on.
James Balsamo.
Oh, my God, yeah, James Balsamo. That dude.
Balsamo.
It's a name. You're not the only one who mispronounces it. But yeah, we've had him on a bunch, you know, this a lot of really cool people, and you know, we've had Barbara Crampton on, we've had Dee Wallace on, we've had all these, you know, I'm honored to do these things. It's fantastic. So go check it out. You just go to the Dorkening on Facebook or go to dorkening.com, and that's where you can find everything there too.
Or YouTube.
Yep, YouTube, well. The Dorkening, and you can find all the shows there, And I just want to thank you again, Anthony, for having me come on. And I appreciate asking. And anytime you need anything, you know where I am. So.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, Kevin. Have a good day. And don't forget to listen to his podcasts on Sunday and Tuesday night over on the Dorkening's official Facebook page. Thank you again, and have a good day.
Bye, everybody.
Have a horror podcast that you want to promote? Have a geek podcast you want to promote? Well, if you answered yes to one of those, then here at Anthony T's Horror Show, I'm looking to have your commercial here on my show. If you're interested in having your commercial played on my show, you can contact me at AnthonyT'sHorrorShow@gmail.com. And remember, support indie horror. Welcome back. My film recommendation for this episode comes from a studio that recently announced that it will be closing its doors. It's an independent film studio called Tempe Entertainment. After 33 years of making films, they made films such as The Dead Next Door, Skinned Alive, Polymorph, The Sandman. And they've also collaborated with Full Moon Features on films like Witch House 2 Blood Coven, Horror Vision, Stitches, to name a few. But my film recommendation for this episode is the 1995 film Ozone. And this film pretty much goes way back, literally, to the time where, as most of the micro-budgeted indie horror films of that time were shot on video, this was the best film that Tempe Entertainment put out, in my opinion. I first discovered this film around 2003-2004, when the film was titled Street Zombies, which was retitled by Charles Band, when he released it under the Wizard Video / Shadow Entertainment label, which was a subdivision of Full Moon Features at that time. I remember first seeing this film at my local Hollywood Video, at a time where you can actually go into a store, browse around, and see what films they had. And sometimes the box cover would entice me to rent a film, which I really miss a lot today, because everything's pretty much on demand now. I miss the days of going to the video store so much, as this is one of the films that I first found through the video store, figuring this is, another Full Moon / Shadow Entertainment release, so I decided to rent it. What I got was surprisingly a very good film. This film had very good effects for a film that was shot on video. It had great direction from J.R. Brookwater, which I also consider this film to be my favorite of the films he's done, even though Witch House 2 Blood Coven is a close second. The film also has a very good lead performance from James Black. It has a great score, and probably one of the most disturbing sex scenes that I've ever seen on film. The scene looked like something that you would see in a Tool music video. This is a film that you should definitely check out if you're really a fan of low-budget, micro-budgeted cinema. It's sad that Tempe Entertainment is closing its doors. I will go into more of Tempe Entertainment in a Anthony T's Horror Thought video on Anthony T's Horror Chambers YouTube channel. Besides that, I also have another edition of the Horror Chambers DVD and Blu-ray collection. I know I keep promising to put one out, but I just haven't had the time. I can guarantee you, most definitely, by next episode, there will be another episode of the Horror Chambers DVD and Blu-ray collection. I want to thank Kevin Cook from The Dorkening and Wicked Horror Show for joining me this episode. I want to thank you for listening. Have a good day and support indie horror.